You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The United Kingdom goes to the polls on July the 4th. It's election day, general election day on that date. With me now is Matt Evans, portfolio manager at 91 in London, to talk about the election and its potential implications. Matt, I must say that one word that I constantly think of when I'm watching the coverage of, for example, broadcasters like the BBC is apathy. And I'll give you an example. As we record this podcast, there are just a few hours to go before you have to register in order to be able to vote on July the 4th, and there are still 4 million people that haven't done so. Do you find there's an apathy surrounding this election?
It certainly feels that way, and I think we're in a difficult position at the moment where there's a lot of confidence lost in politicians, and therefore the apathy tends to come with that. You know, you vote people in, are they going to be able to make a difference? And therefore it is of concern, but you know, it's a voice that we have. So hopefully as we get closer to polling day, people pick up their chance to vote and hopefully start to make a difference and get the UK back on more of a positive footing.
The Tories have been in government now for 14 years, it is. I mean, Labour have really had a torrid time of it, as have the other parties, of course, but we're talking about the two main parties now. What are your expectations for the UK elections, and what do you think other people's expectations are as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting if you take a straw poll. I think something that looks to come out, it'd be great to have some form of stability. It seems to be a key expectation for many people post these elections. And if you go back to, you know, even 2009, we're talking about a long time of the Conservatives in power, when there was a credit crisis, we've then had Brexit, there's been a pandemic, there's now real geopolitical concerns around the world. And the UK political situation is still seen as a bit unstable at the moment. So stability would be, I think, a key expectation for many people in the UK at the moment.
Yes, indeed. Markets love stability. We all love stability in our lives. Hopefully we'll get that. And that's another thing that people tend to say. And I go back to my youth growing up in the United Kingdom when there was a Conservative Party, a Labour Party, and in those days it was called the Liberal Party. And even as a child, I seemed to understand what they all stood for. Now they all seem to stand for the same thing in various guises. Do you also get that impression?
Again, I think there is some truth in that. And I think that the key messages are very similar in that what government's sort of talking about and looking for in all the parties is around stability. It's looking for a form of growth. And it's looking to support some of the key, you know, UK, I suppose, institutions and infrastructure. But how they get there, there are nuances. But how big are those nuances? Is it enough to really determine? I'm not sure. But again, it points back to what would be a good thing for the UK. Some stability, everyone aiming towards the same goals, and then some proper, I suppose, debate and long-term planning to allow us to get there in the best possible way.
One thing that many people would say is that at least the UK is not going the same route as many European countries. In other words, shifting to the right or even the far right. I know Nigel Farage of Reform UK has been doing well, almost catching up with the Tories as the opposition to Labour, if you like. But again, Britain seems to be resisting the urge of continental Europe.
Yeah, and I mean, who would have thought it? But maybe even the UK could be seen as a relative political safe haven in the coming few years with what's happening in Europe and even the US and elsewhere globally. So, yeah, that would be perhaps a good point for the UK.
So what you want to see is stability. And I suppose markets want that as well. At the moment, we've got a UK equity fund exodus, and that continues. Is that linked to politics, Matt?
I think politics can either be seen as a challenge or maybe as a more supportive role. I think the UK is often seen as a very credible stock market. It's got very good guide rails around corporate governance and strong legal positions and good businesses in a very broad and deep market. However, it has had its challenges. And I think a lot of that probably has stemmed from concerns over sort of political uncertainty. And therefore, if we could resolve some of those elements, think about some of the regulation as well that's in place to you know, think about how that could help support capital markets, then maybe we could get back to a much stronger position and play on some of the benefits that the UK market actually has to offer.
Capital markets are, of course, me terribly, terribly important to whoever is in number 10 on July the 5th. But the UK capital markets are still pretty healthy, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think they're in a good place. I think, you know, some of the narrative can be very negative around UK capital markets at various stages and all these companies listing overseas. But actually, the companies that are here are often delivering products and services on a global basis. They can access the markets. They can still invest for growth. And therefore, it's, you know, genuinely a good place to be. And to access those markets as an investor is pretty attractive, especially at the moment where valuations can look particularly compelling, actually. And as we come out of what's seen as a more challenging environment, as we've adjusted to inflation and higher levels of interest rates, looking to as though they've peaked, then actually the opportunity set within the UK of good businesses addressing some real structurally growing areas linked to valuations that look very competitive on a global basis means UK capital markets are potentially in a very attractive position.
So you think that the city is still pretty healthy, alive and kicking? Because I think there was one point not that long ago where the CAC 40 overtook the FTSE in terms of market capitalisation and people talking about, well, we don't want to list in London, we want to list somewhere else. And indeed, thinking of getting out of London and replacing their listing in another geography. But you don't share that pessimism?
I'm optimistic that we are aware of the challenges and that there are some elements and some steps that could be taken to just reassert some of the benefits of the London market. You know, I can't sit here and say that the UK market hasn't had its challenges. And, you know, as you pointed out, there are several other indices in Europe that might have overtaken on absolute market caps, but that can be driven by just one or two very successful businesses. The breadth and depth of the UK market can be very appealing. And actually that can attract good capital flows into that market. And therefore, I believe we're in a position where the quality of the businesses available, delivering those products and services globally, could attract a broader base of investors to some of those companies that the UK has to offer, not just at the very largest, but a broader spread. And that should be a positive for UK capital markets and support the continual growth that they could bring.
Very good. Now, if you look at the United States, I think Britain is in a pretty good space. The UK is healthy and stable compared to what might happen over the next few months in the United States of America. Would you say that you are cautiously optimistic in general terms about the election, about capital markets, about the city and about society?
Yes. Look, I think, you know, society in general can be very resilient. It's been a really challenging time. For many reasons, as I've sort of touched on, not just in the UK, but globally. And I think actually development that you see that's come out, and we can go back to the pandemic, which is hugely challenging, but scientific development and getting vaccines available and then distributed globally was pretty efficient. Now, there will always be discussions, could it have been done better? But the learnings of that can then really focus further investment, further development in areas of healthcare. But also what we're seeing in technology means there's going to be continual development going forward. And yes, there's challenges with that, but society is resilient and will adapt. And therefore, I'm generally quite optimistic about the opportunities for companies to invest, develop products and services that can start addressing some of the global challenges we're facing, whether it's from, you know, climate change, the energy transition, healthcare, you know, more access to better education, and that can drive huge opportunities. So yes, there are challenges, but I think as we sit today, maybe we're getting to that point of, you know, renewed optimism, renewed confidence to invest and start really getting down to delivering those products and services that can really start contributing to a more successful and more optimistic society.
Matt, thank you so much for your analysis. Use your vote wisely on July the 4th, if indeed you are going to vote. That's Matt Evans, Portfolio Manager at 91 in London. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organisation, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.